Born on this day back in 1941, still with us, I believe, Louis Shelton, session guitarist and producer, member of the Wrecking Crew, played on this track, a little guitar on Last Train to Clarksville from the Monkees, on the Jackson 5's I Want You Back, and recordings from Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, and many, many others. He also played the guitar solo on Lionel Richie's hit Hello, which frankly I can't get out of my head most days. I don't know why. That guitar solo in Hello just stays with me. I'd also played the guitar solo in the Boz Scaggs tune Lowdown. Louis Shelton celebrating birthday number... Louis Shelton celebrating birthday number 69 today. And as we always do here when I fill in for Steve, we go back in the world of music, find birthdays, death days, number ones on this day, anniversaries, etc. And always enjoy bringing my passion for music to you through the magic of radio. I also host a podcast for National Review. You can find it at nationalreview.com and where fine podcasts are found. It's called Political Beats. We talk with people in and around the world of politics about no politics whatsoever, but only about our guest's favorite artist or band. A deep dive into that band's catalog and what makes it important, special. We're in the middle right now of The Who, a two-part episode on The Who. Part one out, part two is coming out today. Our guest, Ben Domenech from The Federalist, and you might have seen him elsewhere as well. But part two of The Who is out later today, so check nationalreview.com and elsewhere to find that program, Political Beats. Scott Bertram in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show, stevegruber.com, at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter at Scott Bertram, S-C-O-T-B-E-R-T-R-A-M. The latest numbers from yesterday on COVID-19 across the state of Michigan, 617 total deaths in the state, 1,493 new cases yesterday. That's up from Saturday's total of 1,481, but down from 1,953 on Friday. It's good. Statewide total, 15,718 cases. And again, 617 deaths. That's up 77 from the day before. Hotspot still southeast Michigan, Detroit, with 537 new cases on Sunday. The city's total now nearly 4,500 and 27 more deaths on Sunday for Detroit. That figure now at 158 for Detroit. Wayne County, Oakland County, right at the top as well where we are. Hillsdale County actually had quite a significant jump yesterday, if I recall correctly, like from 18 to 32, something like that. Fairly significant rise. 71 of Michigan's 83 counties have at least one case. The average age of those who have died from the virus, 71 years old. Median age of 72 years old. The youngest person, 20. The oldest person, 107 years old. 41,000 people have been tested across Michigan. 30,000 negative tests and 10,435 positive tests. Those numbers aren't equal because out-of-state lab data is not included in those numbers, but are included in the total number of cases in Michigan. Females and males are about to... Well, now what? I have a question. This is a story from MLive.com. I have a question. It says females account for 50% of the cases in this story, and it says males account for 46% of the cases. Can you guess what my question is? I want to know about the other 4%. The mortality rate, though, is much higher in males at 60% than females at 40%. That's not just in Michigan. That's held true virtually everywhere we've seen coronavirus make an impact. So that's where we stand at Michigan. And again, Michigan has now zoomed past California to be the third highest total of cases anywhere in the country, even though California, as you might know, is a much higher population than we do here in Michigan. There is an amazing fact check at USA Today, and you'll find out why it's amazing in just a moment. The question they're trying to answer here, did the Obama administration deplete the federal stockpile of N95 masks? The claim, the Obama administration used and did not replenish the nation's emergency stockpile of medical supplies, including N95 masks. You may have heard this. The Daily Wire published an article centering on this question a couple of days ago, and it's been talked about a little bit. And so the amazing thing about this fact check is you get to the very, very end, and it rates it as true. There is a fact check that actually rates a bad thing about President Obama's administration as true. Incredible. There's no indication the Obama administration took significant steps to replenish the supply of N95 masks. Unbelievable. Phil Wegman's there, and we've got him for about 2 minutes. Well, you know what? Maybe we can see, hey, a little on-air maneuvery here. Alice, can you just double-check? Can Phil maybe come on next segment? Phil will check with Alex on that. Hopefully he can stick around. I want to ask him about both his recent story and the story he did about masks being stolen. So anyway, this fact check is true. There's no indication the Obama administration took significant steps to replenish the supply of N95 masks in the strategic national stockpile after it was depleted from repeated crises. Calls for action came from experts at the time concerned for the country's ability to respond to future serious pandemics. Such recommendations were not heeded, so says the fact check at USA Today. That's amazing. The other amazing thing that happened yesterday, and again, this is one of those things that only happens if you're kind of on Twitter, I suppose, but some message went out. A Slack channel lit up and told a whole bunch of journalists that they should praise President Bush because he gave a speech in 2005, President Bush did, in which he talked about the need to prepare for a pandemic. Now, recall, President Bush is Hitler and is awful. And you remember all the bad things that were said about President Bush back during his administration. Well, now they have found something in 2005 that they want to praise him for because it might make the current president look bad. And so now all of a sudden, President Bush is great. And what a visionary back in 2005 to say we have to prepare for a pandemic. One more quick thing before we head to break, mentioned this at the top of the hour, a proposal to ban fracking could be on the ballot in November. So of all things to worry about in November, we have to actually go to the polls to say, you know, don't shut down fracking in the state. Appeals court ruled last week in favor of opponents and revived their effort to present the issue to voters. The court said state election officials were wrong to reject petitions with more than 270,000 signatures in 2018. The state said, state of Michigan said a summary of the proposal had referred to the wrong election date. The court said that was irrelevant. So the board of state canvassers now must judge the petition and the signatures. If there are enough valid signatures, the legislature would decide whether to adopt the proposal. I doubt they would. If they decline, it would go on the ballot, according to the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan. So keep an eye on that. That could be coming to the ballot in November, as well as, you know, kind of a small presidential election as well. Scott Bertram, Phil Wegman with us next on The Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me, and I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MA